68. Bridges. However, it seems to me that all things have been set up for a purpose, and if we, as infants, stumble through the workshop, we risk exacerbating, not preventing, a problem. The Shattered Plains. Kaladin did not claim these lands as he did the chasms, where his men had found safety. Kaladin remembered all too well the pain of bloodied feet on his first run, battered by this broken stone wasteland. Barely anything grew out here, only the occasional patch of rock buds or set of enterprising vines draping down into a chasm on the leeward side of a plateau. The bottoms of the cracks were clogged with life, but up here it was barren. The aching feet and burning shoulders from running a bridge had been nothing compared to the slaughter that had awaited his men at the end of a bridge run. Storms. Even looking across the plains made Kaladin flinch. He could hear the hiss of arrows in the air, the screams of terrified bridgemen, the song of the Parshendi. I should have been able to save more of Bridge Four, Kaladin thought. If I'd been faster to accept my powers, could I have done so? He breathed in stormlight to reassure himself. Only it didn't come. He stood, dumbfounded, while soldiers marched across one of Dalinar's enormous mechanical bridges. He tried again. Nothing. He fished a sphere from his pouch. The firemark glowed with its customary light, tinting his fingers red. Something was wrong. Kaladin couldn't feel the stormlight inside as he once had. Syl flitted across the chasm high in the air with a group of windspren. Her giggling laughter rained down upon him, and he looked up. Syl? He asked quietly. Storms. He didn't want to look like an idiot, but something deep within him was panicking like a rat caught by its tail. Syl? Several marching soldiers glanced at Kaladin, then up toward the air. Kaladin ignored them as Syl zipped down in the form of a ribbon of light. She swirled around him, still giggling. The stormlight returned to him. He could feel it again, and he greedily sucked it from the sphere. Though he did have the presence of mind to clutch the sphere in a fist and hold it to his chest to make the process less obvious. The light of one mark wasn't enough to expose him, but he felt far, far better with that stormlight raging inside of him. What happened? Kaladin whispered to Syl. Is something wrong with our bond? Is it because I haven't found the words soon enough? She landed on his wrist and took the form of a young woman. She peered at his hand, cocking her head.
What's inside?
She asked with a conspiratorial whisper. You know what this is, Syl, Kaladin said, feeling chilled, as if he'd been hit by a wave of storm water. A sphere. Didn't you see it just now? She looked at him, face innocent.
You are making bad choices. Naughty.
Her features mimicked his for a moment, and she jumped forward as if to startle him. She laughed and zipped away. Bad choices. Naughty. So this was because of his promise to Moash that he'd help assassinate the king. Kaladin sighed, continuing forward. Syl couldn't see why his decision was the right one. She was a spren, and had a stupid, simplistic morality. To be human was often to be forced to choose between distasteful options. Life wasn't clean and neat like she wanted it to be. It was messy, coated with creme. No man walked through life without getting covered in it, not even Dalinar. "You want too much of me," he snapped at her as he reached the other side of the chasm. "I'm not some glorious knight of ancient days. I'm a broken man. Do you hear me, Syl? I'm broken!" She zipped up to him and whispered,
"That's what they all were, Sylvie."
She streaked away. Kaladin watched as the soldiers filed across the bridge. They weren't doing a plateau run, but Dalinar had brought plenty of soldiers anyway. Going out into the Shattered Plains was entering a war zone, and the Parshendi were ever a threat. Bridge Four tromped across the mechanical bridge, carrying their smaller one. Kaladin wasn't about to leave the camps without that. These mechanisms Dalinar employed, the massive chul-pulled bridges that could be ratcheted down into place, were amazing, but Kaladin didn't trust them. Not nearly as much as he did a good bridge on his shoulders. Syl flitted by again. Did she really expect him to live according to her perception of what was right and wrong? Was she going to yank his powers away every time he did something that risked offending her? That would be like living with a noose around his neck. Determined not to let his worries ruin the day, he went to check on Bridge 4. Look at the open sky, he told himself. Breathe the wind. Enjoy the freedom. After so much time in captivity, these things were wonders. He found Bridge 4 beside their bridge at parade rest. It was odd to see them with their old padded shoulder leather vests on over their new uniforms. It transformed them into a weird mix of what they had been and what they were now. They saluted him together, and he saluted back. At ease, he told them, and they broke formation, laughing and joking with one another as Lopin and his assistants distributed water skins.
Ha!
Rock said, settling down on the side of the bridge to drink.
This thing, it is not so hard as I remember it being.
It's because we're going slower, Kaladin said, pointing at Dalinar's mechanical bridge. And because you're remembering the early days of bridge carries, not the later ones when we were well-fed and well-trained. It got easier then.
No, Rock said. The bridge is light because we have defeated Sadeus. Is the proper way of things.
That makes no sense.
Ah, perfect sense.
He took a drink.
Airsick Lowlander.
Kaladin shook his head, but let himself find a smile at Rock's familiar voice. After slaking his own thirst, he jogged across the plateau toward where Dalinar had just finished crossing. Nearby, a tall rock formation surmounted the plateau, and atop it was a wooden structure like a small fort. Sunlight glinted off one of the spyglasses fitted there. No permanent bridge led to this plateau, which was just outside the secure area closest to the war camp. These scouts positioned here were vaulters who leaped chasms at narrow points with the use of long poles. It seemed like a job that would require a special brand of craziness, and because of that, Kaladin had always felt respect for these men. One of the vaulters was speaking with Dalinar. Kaladin would have expected the man to be tall and limber, but he was short and compact with thick forearms. He wore a Kolin uniform with white stripes edging the coat.
We did see something out there, Bright Lord, the vaulter said to Dalinar. I saw it with my own two eyes, and recorded the date and time in glyphs on my ledger. It was a man, a glowing one, who flew around in the sky back and forth over the plains.
Dalinar grunted.
I'm not crazy, sir, the vaulter said, shuffling from one foot to the other. The other lad saw it, too, once I—
I believe you, soldier, Dalinar said. It was the assassin in white. He looked like that when he came for the king.
The man relaxed.
Bright Lord, sir, that's what I thought. Some of the men back at camp told me I was just seeing what I wanted.
Nobody wants to see that one, Dalinar said. But why would he spend his time out here? Why hasn't he come back to attack if he's this close?
Kaladin cleared his throat, uncomfortable, and pointed at the watchman's post.
That fort up there, is it wood?
Yes, the vaulter said, then noticed the knots on Kaladin's shoulders.
Sir? That can't possibly withstand a high storm, Kaladin said. We break it down, sir.
And carry it back to camp? Kaladin asked, frowning.
Or do you leave it out here for the storm?
Leave it, sir?
The short man said.
We stay here with it.
He pointed toward a burrowed-out section of rock, cut with hammers or a shard blade, at the base of the stone formation. It didn't look very large, just a cubby, really. It looked like they took the wooden floor of the platform up above, then locked it into place with clasps at the side of the cubby to form a kind of door. A special kind of crazy, indeed.
Bright Lord, sir, the vaulter said to Dalinar. The one in white might be out here somewhere, waiting.
Thank you, soldier, Dalinar said, nodding his dismissal. Keep an eye out for us while we travel.
We've had reports of a chasm fiend moving in close to the camps.
Yes, sir,
the man said, saluting, and then jogging back toward the rope ladder, leading up to his post.
What if the assassin does come for you? Kaladin asked softly.
I don't see how it would be any different out here, Dalinar said. He'll be back eventually. On the plains or in the palace, we'll have to fight him.
Kaladin grunted.
I wish you'd accept one of those shard blades that Adolin has been winning, sir. I'd feel more comfortable if you could defend yourself.
I think you'd be surprised, Dalinar said, shading his eyes, turning toward the war camp. I do feel wrong leaving Elokar alone back there, though.
The assassin said he wanted you, sir, Kaladin said. If you're apart from the king, that will only serve to protect him.
I suppose, Dalinar said. Unless the assassin's comments were misdirection.
He shook his head.
I might order you to stay with him next time. I can't help but feel I'm missing something important. Something right in front of me.
Kaladin set his jaw, trying to ignore the chill he felt.
Order you to stay with him next time.
It was almost like fate itself was pushing Kaladin to be in a position to betray the king.
About your imprisonment, the High Prince said.
Already forgotten, sir, Kaladin said.
Dalinar's part in it, at least.
I appreciate not being demoted.
You're a good soldier, Dalinar said. Most of the time.
His eyes flicked toward Bridge Four, picking up their bridge. One of the men at the side drew his attention in particular. Renarin, wearing his Bridge Four uniform, hefting the bridge into place. Nearby, Leighton laughed and gave him pointers on how to hold the thing.
He's actually starting to fit in, sir, Kaladin said. The men like him.
I never thought I'd see the day.
Dalinar nodded.
How was he? Kaladin asked softly. After what happened in the arena.
He refused to go practice with Zyle, Dalinar said.
So far as I know, he hasn't summoned his shardblade in weeks.
He watched for a moment longer.
I can't decide if his time with your men is good for him, helping him think like a soldier, or if it's just encouraging him to avoid his greater responsibilities.
Sir, Kaladin said, if I may say so, your son seems like kind of a misfit.
Out of place. Awkward. Alone.
Dalinar nodded.
Then I can say with confidence that Bridge Four is probably the best place he could find himself.
It felt odd to be saying it of a light eyes, but it was true. Dalinar grunted.
I'll trust your judgment. Go. Make sure those men of yours are on the watch for the assassin in case he does come today.
Kaladin nodded, leaving the High Prince behind.
He'd heard about Dalinar's visions before, and had an inkling of their contents. He didn't know what he thought, but he intended to get a copy of the vision records in their entirety, so he could have Ka read it to him.
Perhaps these visions were why Syl was always so determined to trust Dalinar.
As the day passed, the army moved across the plains like the flow of some viscous liquid, mud dribbling down a shallow incline. All of this so Shallan could see a chasm-fiend chrysalis.
Kaladin shook his head, crossing a plateau.
Adolin was certainly smitten. He'd managed to roll out an entire strike force, his father included, just to sate the girl's whims.
"Walking, Kaladin?" Adolin said, trotting up.
The prince rode that white beast of a horse, the thing with the hooves like hammers. Adolin wore his full suit of blue shard plate, helm tied to a knob on the back of the saddle.
I thought you had full requisition right from my father's stables.
I have full requisition right from the quartermaster's, too, Kaladin said. But you don't see me hiking out here with a cauldron on my back just because I can.
Adolin chuckled.
You should try riding more. You have to admit that there are advantages. The speed of the gallop, the height of attack.
He patted his horse on the neck.
I guess I just trust my own feet too much.
Adolin nodded as if that had been the wisest thing a man had ever said, before riding back to check on Shallan in her palanquin. Feeling a little fatigued, Kaladin fished in his pocket for another sphere, just a diamond chip this time, and held it to his chest. He breathed in. Again, nothing happened.
Storm it? He looked about for Syl, but couldn't find her. She'd been so playful lately, he was starting to wonder if this was all some kind of trick. He actually hoped that it was, and not something more. Despite his inward grousing and complaints, he desperately wanted this power. He had claimed the sky, the winds themselves. Giving them up would be like giving up his own hands. He eventually reached the edge of their current plateau, where Dalinar's mechanical bridge was setting up. Here, blessedly, he found Syl inspecting a kremlin crawling across the rocks toward the safety of a nearby crack. Kaladin sat down on a rock beside her. "So you're punishing me," he said, "for agreeing to help Moash. That's why I'm having trouble with the stormlight." Syl followed along behind the kremlin, which was a kind of beetle with a round, iridescent shell. "Syl?" Kaladin asked. "Are you all right? You seem like you were before, when we first met." It made a feeling of dread rise within him to acknowledge it. If his powers were withdrawing, was it because the bond itself was weakening? She looked up at him, and her eyes became more focused, her expression like that of her normal self.
"You have to decide what you want, Kaladin," she said.
"You don't like Moash's plan," Kaladin said. "Are you trying to force me to change my mind regarding him?" She scrunched up her face.
"I don't want to force you to do anything. You have to do what you think is right."
"That's what I'm trying to do."
"No, I don't think you are."
"Fine, I'll tell Moash and his friends that I'm out, that I'm not going to help them."
"But you gave Moash your word."
"I gave my word to Dalinar, too." She drew her lips to a line, meeting his eyes. "That's the problem, isn't it?" Kaladin whispered. "I've made two promises, and I can't keep my word to both." Oh, storms. Was this the sort of thing that had destroyed the Knights Radiant? What happened to your honor spren when you confronted them with a choice like this? A broken vow either way? Idiot, Kaladin thought at himself. It seemed he couldn't make any right choices these days. "What do I do, Syl?" he whispered. She flitted up until she was standing in the air just before him, eyes meeting his.
"You must speak the words."
"I don't know them."
"Find them."
She looked toward the sky.
"Find them soon, Kaladin. And no, simply telling Moash you won't help isn't going to work. We've gone too far for that. You need to do what your heart needs to do."
She rose upward toward the sky. "Stay with me, Syl," he whispered after her, standing. "I'll figure this out. Just don't lose yourself. Please. I need you." Nearby, gears on Dalinar's bridge mechanism turned as soldiers twisted levers, and the entire thing started to unfold.
"Stop! Stop! Stop!"
Shallan Devar jogged up, a flurry of red hair and blue silk, a large floppy hat on her head to keep off the sun. Two of her guards jogged after her, but neither was Gaz. Kaladin spun about, alarmed at her tone, searching for signs of the assassin in white. Shallan, puffing, raised her safe hand to her chest.
"Storms, what is wrong with palanquin porters? They absolutely refuse to move quickly. It's not stately, they say. Well, I don't really do stately. All right, give me a minute, then you can continue."
She settled down on a rock near the bridge. The baffled soldiers regarded her as she dug out her drawing pad, then started sketching.
"All right," she said. "Continue. I've been trying all day to get a progressive sketch of that bridge as it unfolds. Storming porters."
What a bizarre woman. The soldiers hesitantly continued positioning the bridge, unfolding it beneath the watchful eyes of three of Dalinar's engineers, widowed wives of his fallen officers. Several carpenters were also on hand to work at their orders if the bridge got stuck or a piece snapped. Kaladin gripped his spear, trying to sort through his emotions regarding Syl and the promises he'd made. Surely he could work this out somehow, couldn't he? Seeing this bridge intruded on his mind with thoughts of bridge runs, and he found that a welcome distraction. He could see why Sadius had preferred the simple, if brutal, method of the bridge cruise. Those bridges were faster, cheaper, and less prone to problems. These massive things were ponderous, like big ships trying to maneuver in a bay. Armored bridge runners is the natural solution, Kaladin thought. Men with shields, with full support from the army to get them into position. You could have fast mobile bridges, but also not leave men to be slaughtered. Of course, Sadius had wanted the bridgemen killed as bait to keep arrows away from his soldiers. One of the carpenters helping with the bridge, examining one of the wooden steadying pins and talking about carving a new one, was familiar to Kaladin. The stout man had a birthmark across his forehead, shaded by the carpenter's cap he wore. Kaladin knew that face. Had the man been one of Dalinar's soldiers, one of those who had lost the will to fight following the slaughter on the tower? Some of those had switched to other duties in camp. He was distracted as Moash walked over, raising a hand toward Bridge Four, who cheered him. Moash's brilliant shard plate, which he'd had repainted blue with red accents at the points, looked surprisingly natural on him. It hadn't even been a week yet, but Moash walked in the armor easily. He stepped up to Kaladin, then knelt down on one knee, plate clinking. He saluted, arm across chest. His eyes. They were lighter in color, tan, instead of deep brown as they'd once been. He wore his shard blade strapped across his back in a guarded sheath. Only one more day until he had it bonded. You don't need to salute me, Moash, Kaladin said. You're light-eyed now. You outrank me by a mile or two. I'll never outrank you, Cal, Moash said, faceplate of his helm up. You're my captain. Forever. He grinned. But I can't tell you how much storming fun it is to watch the light eyes try to figure out how to deal with me. Your eyes are really changing. Yeah, Moash said. But I'm not one of them, you hear me? I'm one of us. Bridge Four. I'm our secret weapon. Secret? Kaladin asked, raising an eyebrow. They've probably heard about you all the way in Erie by now, Moash. You're the first dark-eyed man to be given a blade and plate in over a lifetime. Dalinar had even granted Moash lands and a stipend from them, a lavish sum, and not just by bridgeman standards. Moash still stopped by for stew some nights, but not all. He was too busy arranging his new quarters. There was nothing wrong with that. It was natural. It was also part of why Kaladin had turned down the blade himself, and perhaps why he'd always been worried about showing his powers to the Light Eyes. Even if they didn't find a way to take the abilities from him, he knew that fear was irrational, though he felt it all the same. They might find a way to take Bridge Four from him. His men. His very self. They might not be the ones who take it from you, Kaladin thought. You might be doing it to yourself. Better than any Light Eyes could. The thought nauseated him. We're getting close, Moash said softly as Kaladin took out his waterskin. Close? Kaladin asked. He lowered the waterskin and looked over his shoulder across the plateaus. I thought we still had a few hours to go before we reached the dead chrysalis. It was far out, almost as far out as the armies went on bridge runs. Bethab and Thanadol had claimed it yesterday. Not that, Moash said, looking to the side. Other things. Oh. Moash, are you... I mean... Cal, Moash said. You're with us, right? You said it. Two promises. Syl told him to follow his heart. Kaladin, Moash said more solemnly. You gave me these shards, even after you were angry with me for disobeying you. There's a reason. You know deep down that what I'm doing is right. It's the only solution. Kaladin nodded. Moash glanced around, then stood up, plate clinking. He leaned in to whisper. Don't worry. Graves says you aren't going to have to do much. We just need an opening. Kaladin felt sick.
"We can't do it when Dalinar's in the war camp," he whispered. "I won't risk him being hurt."
"No problem," Moash said. "We feel the same way. We'll wait for the right moment. The newest plan is to hit the king with an arrow, so there's no risk of implicating you or anyone else. You lead him to the right spot, and Graves will fell the king with his own bow. He's an excellent shot."
An arrow. It felt so cowardly. It needed to be done. It needed to be.
Moash patted him on the shoulder, stepping off in his clinking shard plate.
Storms.
All Kaladin had to do was lead the king into a specific spot. That, and betray Dalinar's trust in him.
"And if I don't help kill the king, won't I be betraying justice and honor?"
The king had murdered, or as good as murdered, many people. Some through indifference, others through incompetence. And storms. Dalinar wasn't innocent either. If he'd been as noble as he pretended, wouldn't he have seen Roshon imprisoned rather than shipped off somewhere where he couldn't do any more harm?
Kaladin walked over to the bridge, watching the men march across.
Shallan Devar sat primly on a rock, continuing her sketches of the bridge mechanism. Adolin had climbed off his horse and handed it to some grooms for watering. He waved Kaladin over.
"Princeling?" Kaladin asked, stepping up.
"The assassin has been seen out here," Adolin said, "on the plains at night."
"Yes, I heard the scout telling your father about it."
"We need a plan. What if he attacks out here?"
"I hope he does."
Adolin looked to him, frowning.
"From what I saw," Kaladin said, "and from what I've learned about the assassin's initial attack on the old king, he depends on confusion in his victims. He jumps off walls and onto ceilings. He sends men falling the wrong direction.
Well, there aren't any walls or ceilings out here."
"So he can just full-on fly," Adolin said with a grimace.
"Yes," Kaladin said, pointing with a smile.
"Since we have, what is it, 300 archers with us?"
Kaladin had used his abilities effectively against Parshendi arrows, and so perhaps archers wouldn't be able to kill the assassin. But he imagined it would be hard for the man to fight with wave after wave of arrows flying at him. Adolin nodded slowly.
"I'll talk to them. Get them ready for the possibility."
He started walking toward the bridge, so Kaladin joined him. They passed Shallan, who was still absorbed in her sketching. She didn't even notice Adolin waving at her.
"Light-eyed women and their diversions."
Kaladin shook his head.
"Do you know anything about women, bridge boy?"
Adolin asked, looking over his shoulder and watching Shallan as the two of them crossed the bridge.
"Light-eyed women?" Kaladin asked.
"Nothing, thankfully."
"People think I know a lot about women," Adolin said. "The truth is, I know how to get them, how to make them laugh, how to make them interested. I don't know how to keep them."
He hesitated.
"I really want to keep this one."
"So, tell her that, maybe," Kaladin said, thinking back to Tara and the mistakes he'd made.
"Do such things work on dark-eyed women?"
"You're asking the wrong man," Kaladin said. "I haven't had much time for women lately. I was too busy trying to avoid being killed."
Adolin seemed to be barely listening.
"Perhaps I could say something like that to her. Seems so simple, and she's anything but simple."
He turned back to Kaladin.
"Anyway, assassin in white, we need more of a plan than just telling the archers to be ready."
"Do you have any ideas?" Kaladin said.
"You won't have a shard blade, but won't need one because of, you know."
"I know?"
Kaladin felt a spike of alarm.
"Yeah, you know."
Adolin glanced away and shrugged as if trying to act nonchalant.
"That thing."
"What thing?"
"The thing. With the, stuff."
"He doesn't know," Kaladin realized. "He's just fishing, trying to figure out why I can fight so well. And he's doing a really, really bad job of it."
Kaladin relaxed and even found himself smiling at Adolin's awkward attempt. It was nice to feel an emotion other than panic or worry.
"I don't think you have any idea what you're talking about."
Adolin scowled. "There's something odd about you, Bridge Boy," he said. "Admit it."
"I admit nothing."
"You survived that fall with the assassin," Adolin said. "And at first I worried you were working with him. Now..."
"Now what?"
"Well, I've decided that whatever you are, you're on my side." Adolin sighed. "Anyway, the assassin. My instincts say the best plan is the one we used when fighting together in the arena. You distract him while I kill him." "That could work, though I worry that he's not the type to let himself get distracted." "Neither was Relis," Adolin said. "We'll do it, Bridge Boy. You and I. We're going to bring that monster down."
"We'll need to be fast," Kaladin said. "He'll win a drawn-out fight. And Adolin, strike for the spine of the head. Don't try a weakening blow first. Go right for the kill."
Adolin frowned at him.
"Why?"
"I saw something when the two of us fell together," Kaladin said. "I cut him, but he healed the wound somehow."
"I have a blade. He won't be able to heal from that.
Right?"
"Best to not find out. Strike to kill. Trust me."
Adolin met his eyes. "Oddly, I do. Trust you, I mean. It's a very strange sensation."
"Yeah, well, I'll try to hold myself back from skipping across the plateau in joy."
Adolin grinned.
"I'd pay to see that."
"Me skipping?"
"You happy," Adolin said, laughing. "You've got a face like a storm. I half think you could frighten off a storm."
Kaladin grunted. Adolin laughed again, slapping him on the shoulder, then turned as Shallan finally crossed the bridge, her sketching apparently done. She looked to Adolin fondly, and as he reached out to take her hand, she rose up on her toes and gave him a kiss on the cheek. Adolin drew back, startled. Alethi were more reserved than that in public. Shallan grinned at him. Then she turned and gasped, raising a hand to her mouth. Kaladin jumped again, looking for danger, but Shallan just went dashing off to a nearby clump of rocks. Adolin raised his hand to his cheek, then looked to Kaladin with a grin.
"She probably saw an interesting bug."
"No, it's moss," Shallan called back.
"Ah, of course,"
Adolin said, strolling over, Kaladin following.
"Moss. So exciting."
"Hush, you," Shallan said, wagging her pencil at him as she bent down inspecting the rocks. "The moss grows in a strange pattern here. What could cause that?"
"Alcohol,"
Adolin said. She glanced at him. He shrugged.
"Makes me do crazy things."
He looked at Kaladin, who shook his head.
"That was funny," Adolin said. "It was a joke."
"Well, kind of." "Oh, hush," Shallan said. "This looks almost like the same pattern as a flowering rock bud, the kind common here on the plains."
She started sketching. Kaladin folded his arms. Then he sighed.
"What does that sigh mean?" Adolin asked him.
"Boredom," Kaladin said, glancing back at the army still crossing the bridge. With a force of 3,000, that was about half of Dalinar's current army, following heavy recruitment, moving out here took time. On bridge runs, these crossings had felt so quick. Kaladin had always been exhausted, savoring the chance to rest.
"I guess out here it's so barren that there's not much to get excited about other than moss."
"You hush too," Shallan told him. "Go polish your bridge or something."
She leaned in, then poked her pencil at a bug that was crawling across the moss.
"Ah," she said, then hurriedly scribbled some notes. "Anyway, you're wrong. There's a lot out here to get excited about, if you look in the right places. Some of the soldiers said a chasm fiend has been spotted. Do you think it might attack us?"
"You sound entirely too hopeful saying that, Shallan," Adolin said.
"Well, I do still need a good sketch of one."
"We'll get you to the chrysalis. That will have to be enough."
Shallan's scholarship was an excuse. The truth was obvious to Kaladin. Dalinar had brought an unusual number of scouts with him today, and Kaladin suspected once they reached the Chrysalis, which was on the border of unexplored lands, they'd range ahead and gather information. This was all preparation for Dalinar's expedition.
"I don't understand why we need so many soldiers," Shallan said, noticing Kaladin's gaze as he studied the army. "Didn't you say the Parshendi haven't been showing up to fight over Chrysalises lately?"
"No, they haven't," Adolin said. "That's precisely what makes us worried." Kaladin nodded. "Whenever your enemy changes established tactics, you need to worry. It could mean they're getting desperate. Desperation is very, very dangerous."
"You're good at military thinking for a bridge boy," Adolin said.
"Coincidentally," Kaladin said, "you're good at not being unobnoxious for a prince."
"Thanks," Adolin said.
"That was an insult, dear," Shallan said.
"What?" Adolin said. "It was?" She nodded, still sketching, though she glanced up to eye Kaladin. He met the expression calmly.
"Adolin," Shallan said, turning back to the small rock formation in front of her. "Would you slay this moss for me, please?"
"Slay the moss?" He looked at Kaladin, who just shrugged. How was he to know what a light-eyed woman meant? They were a strange breed.
"Yes," Shallan said, standing up. "Give that moss and the rock behind it a good chop, as a favor for your betrothed."
Adolin looked baffled, but did as she asked, summoning his shard blade and hacking at the moss and rock. The top of the small pile of stones slipped free, cut with ease, and clattered to the floor of the plateau. Shallan stepped up eagerly, crouching down beside the perfectly flat top of the sliced stone.
"Hmm,"
she said, nodding to herself. She started sketching. Adolin dismissed his blade.
"Women,"
he said, shrugging at Kaladin. Then he went off jogging to get a drink without asking her for an explanation. Kaladin took a step after him, but then hesitated. What did Shallan find so interesting here? This woman was a puzzle, and he knew he wouldn't be completely comfortable until he understood her. She had too much access to Adolin and therefore Dalinar to leave uninvestigated. He stepped closer, looking over her shoulder as she drew.
"Strata," he said. "You're counting the strata of Krem to guess how old the rock is." "Good guess," she said, "but this is a bad location for strata dating. The wind blows across the plateaus too strongly, and the Krem doesn't collect in pools evenly, so the strata here are erratic and inaccurate."
Kaladin frowned, narrowing his eyes. The cross-section of rock was normal Kremstone on the outside, some strata visible as different shades of brown. The center of the stone, though, was white. You didn't see white rock like that often. It had to be quarried, which meant this was either a very strange occurrence, or... "There was a structure here once," Kaladin said. "A long time ago. It must have taken centuries for the Krem to get that thick on something sticking out of the ground." She glanced at him.
"You're smarter than you look."
Then, turning back to her drawing, she added,
"Good thing."
He grunted. "Why does everything you say have to include some quip? Are you that desperate to prove how clever you are?"
"Perhaps I'm merely annoyed at you for taking advantage of Adolin."
"Advantage?" Kaladin asked. "Because I called him obnoxious?"
"You deliberately said it in a way you expected he wouldn't understand. To make him look like a fool. He's trying very hard to be nice to you."
"Yes," Kaladin said. "He's always so munificent to all of the little dark eyes who flock around to worship him." Shallan snapped her pencil against the page.
"You really are a hateful man, aren't you? Underneath the mock boredom, the dangerous glares, the growls, you just hate people. Is that it?"
"What? No, I..."
"Adolin is trying. He feels bad for what happened to you, and he's doing what he can to make up for it. He is a good man. Is it too much for you to stop provoking him?"
"He calls me Bridge Boy," Kaladin said, feeling stubborn. "He's been provoking me."
"Yes, because he is the one storming around with alternating scowls and insults," Shallan said. "Adolin Kolin, the most difficult man to get along with on the Shattered Plains,
I mean, look at him. He's so unlikable.
She gestured with the pencil toward where Adolin was laughing with the dark-eyed water boys. The groom walked up with Adolin's horse, and Adolin took his shardplate helm off the carrying post, handing it over, letting one of the water boys try it on. It was ridiculously large on the lad. Kaladin flushed as the boy took a shardbearer's pose, and they all laughed again. Kaladin looked back to Shallan, who folded her arms, drawing pad resting on the flat-topped cut rock before her. She smirked at him. Insufferable woman. Bah! Kaladin left her and hiked across the rough ground to join Bridge 4, where he insisted on taking a turn hauling the bridge despite Teft's protests that he was above that sort of thing now. He was no storming light eyes. He'd never be above doing an honest day's work. The familiar weight of the bridge settled onto his shoulders. Rock was right. It did feel lighter than it once had. He smiled as he heard cursing from Lopin's cousins, who, like Renarin, were being initiated on this run into their first bridge carry. They hiked the bridge over a chasm, crossing on one of Dalinar's larger, less mobile ones, and started across the plateau. For a time, marching at the front of Bridge 4, Kaladin could imagine that his life was simple. No plateau assaults, no arrows, no assassins or bodyguarding. Just him, his team, and a bridge. Unfortunately, as they neared the other side of the large plateau, he started to feel weary and, by reflex, tried to suck in some stormlight to bolster him. It wouldn't come. Life was not simple. It never had been. Certainly not while running bridges. To pretend otherwise was to paint over the past. He helped set the bridge down, then, noticing the vanguard moving out in front of the army, he and the bridgemen shoved their bridge into place across the chasm. The vanguard cheerfully welcomed the chance to get ahead, marching over the bridge and securing the next plateau. Kaladin and the others followed, then, a half hour later, they let the vanguard onto the next plateau. They continued like that for a time, waiting for Dalinar's bridge to arrive before crossing, then leading the vanguard onto the next plateau. Hours passed. Sweaty, muscle-straining hours. Good hours. Kaladin didn't come to any realizations about the king or his place in the man's potential assassination. But for the moment, he carried his bridge and enjoyed the progress of an army moving toward their goal beneath an open sky. As the day grew long, they approached the target plateau, where the hollowed-out chrysalis awaited Shallan's study. Kaladin and Bridge 4 let the vanguard across as they'd been doing, then settled in to wait. Eventually, the bulk of the army approached, and Dalinar's lumbering bridges moved into position, ratcheting down to span the chasm. Kaladin gulped deeply of warm water as he watched. He washed his face with the water, then wiped his brow. They were getting close. This plateau was far out onto the plains, almost to the tower itself. Getting back would take hours, assuming they moved at the same relaxed speed they had taken getting out here. It would be well after dark when they returned to the war camps. If Dalinar does want to assault the center of the Shattered Plains, Kaladin thought, it will take days of marching, all the while exposed on the plateaus, with the potential of being surrounded and cut off from the war camps. The Weeping would make a great chance for that. 4 straight weeks of rain, but no high storms. This was the off-year, when there wouldn't even be a high storm on light day in the middle, part of the 1,000-day cycle of 2 years that made up a full storm rotation. Still, he knew that many Alethi patrols had tried exploring eastward before. They'd all been destroyed by high storms, chasm fiends, or Barshendi assault teams. Nothing short of an all-out, full-on movement of resources toward the center would work. An assault that would leave Dalinar, and whoever came with him, isolated. Dalinar's bridge thumped down into place. Kaladin's men traversed their own bridge and prepared to pull it across to go move the vanguard. Kaladin crossed, then waved them on ahead of him. He walked over to where the larger bridge had settled down. Dalinar was crossing it while walking with one of his scouts, all vaulters, with servants behind carrying long poles. "I want you to spread out," the High Prince said to them.
We won't have much time before we need to head back. I want a survey of as many plateaus as you can see from here. The more of our route we can plan now, the less time we'll have to waste during the actual assault.
The scouts nodded, saluting as he dismissed them. He stepped off the bridge and nodded to Kaladin. Behind them, Dalinar's generals, scribes, and engineers crossed the bridge. They'd be followed by the bulk of the army and finally the rear guard.
I hear you've been building mobile bridges, sir, Kaladin said. You realize those mechanical ones are too slow for your assault, I assume.
Dalinar nodded.
But I will have soldiers carry them. No need for your men to do so.
Sir, that is thoughtful of you, but I don't think you have to worry. The bridge crews will carry for you if ordered. Many of them will probably welcome the familiarity.
I thought you and your men considered assignment to those bridge crews a death sentence, soldier, Dalinar said.
The way Sadeus ran them, it was. You could do a better job. Armored men, trained in formations, running the bridges. Soldiers marching in front with shields. Archers with instructions to defend the bridge crews. Besides, the danger is only for an assault.
Dalinar nodded.
Prepare the crews, then. Having your men on the bridges will free the soldiers in case we get attacked.
He started to walk across the plateau, but one of the carpenters on the other side of the chasm called to him. Dalinar turned and started to cross the bridge again. He passed officers and scribes crossing the bridge, including Adolin and Shallan, who walked side by side. She'd given up on the palanquin, and he had given up on his horse, and she seemed to be explaining to him about the hidden remnants of a structure she'd found inside that rock earlier. Behind them, on the other side of the chasm, stood the worker who had called Dalinar back across.
It's that same carpenter, Kaladin thought, the stout man with the cap and the birthmark. Where have I seen him?
It clicked. Sadeus's lumberyards. The man had been one of the carpenters there overseeing the construction of bridges. Kaladin started running. He was charging toward the bridge before the connection fully solidified in his mind. Ahead of him, Adolin spun immediately and started running, searching for whatever danger Kaladin had spotted. He left a bewildered Shallan standing in the bridge's center. Kaladin approached her in a rush. The carpenter grabbed a lever on the side of the bridge contraption.
"The carpenter, Adolin!" Kaladin screamed. "Stop that man!"
Dalinar still stood on the bridge. The High Prince had been distracted by something else.
What?
Kaladin realized he had heard something, too. Horns. The call that the enemy had been spotted. It happened all in an instant. Dalinar turning toward the horns, the carpenter pulling the lever, Adolin and his glimmering shard plate reaching for Dalinar. The bridge lurched. Then, it collapsed.